Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Made on Purpose. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Made on Purpose. Today, I have Juliana Davidson with us. I'm so glad you're here, Juliana.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it's quite interesting how we met. I visited your school with our local MLA.
Yeah.
And shortly after that, you'd sent me a friend request on Facebook, and then I'm like, checking you out because I creep everybody.
Of course, that's what you do on Facebook.
I'm like, oh my goodness, this lady has a story. And through that, I also found out about you writing your book, which we'll talk about a little bit as well. Remind me of the name of the book because it slipped my mom brain.
His Sweet Sustenance.
Yes, I literally just said it like minutes ago.
The sustenance part is like, we have to practice because it doesn't just fall right off the tongue. But it's what God told me to. So I like wrestled with a bunch of like sustaining. I'm like, no, it has to be this. So yeah.
So anyways, I actually ordered your book a little after I'd seen that it had been released. I think I actually signed up to get it like pre-release.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I sat down and I read it in a day.
Oh, wow.
I just sat down and I read it, maybe 2 days, but I was like, well, these are so interesting.
That.
So we'll touch a little bit more on that. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do, where you're from, and we'll go from there.
Sure. I am originally from Nova Scotia. So I lived there until I was about 22. And then it was my lifelong dream to become a teacher. Like since I was like five, I've been like teaching. Mm. I would always like play, teach in my room. And like my mom was a teacher as well. So it was just what I wanted to do. And so right out of high school, went and got my ed degree and then ended up finding a job here in Grand Prairie. Mm-hmm. So packed up and moved away when I was 22 and moved out here. And so I've been here for 12 years now.
Wow.
And yeah, time flies. I cannot believe it. And so I'm at Grand Prairie Christian School, mm-hmm. and currently I'm teaching a grade 5-6 split class, but I've taught some grade 5 by itself and then grade 1 for many years before that, which I really loved. So that's my professional life, I guess, and my background. I have an 8-year-old daughter who is just amazing, and she's just full of joy, and she's just such a light in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's been a really cool journey. I adopted her when she was 3 years old, so I've had her for 5 years now, and just watching her grow and just see how God has used our story and how God brought us together has been so beautiful. Yeah. And then I just recently got married. It'll be 2 months on Friday that we've been married.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You're still honeymooners.
We really are. It's still like, I still have the smile that I can't get rid of. It's been a really wonderful summer. And just this season of just so much blessing. And we're just so thankful. So it's been really, really cool.
Right now, what you've just painted for us is a picture of the restoration of God in your life.
100%.
Because what people may not know is there's a whole lot of backstory.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a journey.
It's a journey. Yeah. And I just love that. I love the realness of your story. And I love that you're willing to share some of that with us today too. So you moved out here from Nova Scotia. You come all the way across the country at 22.
Yeah.
Even that's a big deal.
Yep.
You left your family behind.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did.
So tell us a little bit about that. Why not stay there? Why come to Alberta? I know that lots of people say because of the work and everything, but what brought you to Alberta?
Yeah, it's when I reflect back, it's cool because God definitely led me here, but I had always planned to stay in Nova Scotia. Like my dream was to just stay by my family. And so when I did tell my family my new plan, they were all shocked because it just wasn't the Juliana that they knew. So I think part of it was the job situation in Nova Scotia was not great. Like I would have been subbing for like 7 to 8 years, they said, and I just wasn't interested. But I think the bigger reason behind it is I had had a pretty difficult decade, I guess you'd say. Just adolescence wasn't easy. And then I ended up when I was in university meeting someone that I had gone to school with when we were kids. But we got reconnected and we're dating, and then we eventually ended up getting engaged. So it didn't work out. And that is totally, when I look back now, I can see God's protection and provision in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no hard feelings about it now. I bless him and his family, and I can just see just where we were in our lives and how it wasn't meant to be. And so it was, as much as I have that perspective now, when you're 19 years old and you think that you found the love of your life and you have your wedding planned. And so it all just fell apart two or three months before the wedding. And so that was just soul crushing, honestly. Like it just, all of my plans, all of what I thought my life was going to be like, just came to this like halt, but not even a halt, just like it fell apart. And so I did finish my degree and And like God definitely healed and helped me through that season. But there was a brokenness there that I think I just wanted a new start. I wanted to go somewhere fresh where I didn't feel like the, not the shame, but like the pity or just like the people like had heard that I was engaged, but now I wasn't. And like dealing with their reactions, it was just, it was this season of like, ugh, I just want to be done with this.
Yes.
And so I had actually come to work in Jasper for a summer, like during university break. And that was my first time out west. That was an interesting experience to say the least. But it was really cool because it got me out here and then got me interested in the west side of Canada. Mm. And so when I went to a job fair and saw that there was a job in Grand Prairie, I applied and it's so stupid now being here because I'm like, Jasper, Alberta and Grand Prairie, Alberta have nothing in common.
Not even.
But in my head, I was like, cool, I've been here. It's only like 5 hours away. Like, great.
Yeah.
And then I remember my biggest thing was I looked on Google Maps and I was like, oh, there's a Costco. Like, I'm like, if they have a Costco, like it's a big enough city. So that was my like, yes, I can go live there. So yeah, I think it was just having a fresh beginning and just, I think the beginning provided hope for me. And yeah, even that was a journey once I got here, but it was just, I needed a new start and just to kind of rewrite what I thought my story was going to look like.
Yeah.
And then the process of giving that over to the Lord, which has been a continual process and still is.
Right.
But yeah, and I was 22. So as much as I thought I was all grown up, I was still so young in so many ways.
Yes.
And again, looking back now, I'm like, oh, God was so gracious. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can relate on so many levels and even that, you know, just wanting to kind of get out of that smaller crowd and not be the person that everybody knew went through a heartache. And it's like, you don't have to walk on, you're not walking on eggshells around me. Don't pity me. Yeah. Just can you treat me normal? When I was divorced, I went to a church. It was wonderful. The community just loved and accepted me, but I didn't want to be the newly divorced single mom in the group all the time. You know, I didn't want, how is court this weekend? Like as much as I needed people to understand what I was going through, I didn't want to be that person.
Yeah.
So when I moved cities, I went to a massive church, massive church. And I was like, okay, you know what? I actually just need to blend in for a little while and just nobody needs to know all of my stuff. I just need to be and kind of try and figure it out a little bit, right? Cool. Yeah. So I totally get that. And I love how coming out here was the beginning of a fresh start for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So Juliana, you were 19.
Yes.
When this picture of your life, you know, getting married and everything kind of fell apart. That's actually a really big deal.
Yeah.
And then moving out here at 22, you're still so young. I know when I was in my early 20s, I felt like I was old already. Like I knew everything. But looking back now, it's like, oh my gosh, I was barely a grown up, right? And so that's a really big deal moving out here on your own. And then you started working at the Christian school.
Yep.
So tell me about this transition into Grand Prairie and trying to build a life, trying to make community. And how were you handling the first years that you came here? Maybe connecting with community, did that work? Did that not? What were some of the bumps in the road that you experienced coming to build your new life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it didn't unfold how I anticipated, which is how life goes. I think that's normal. I think anyone that remembers when I moved here, it probably from the outside looked pretty great. Like I was young, starting at the Christian school, which I loved. And honestly, working at the Christian school has been one of the biggest blessings. It's been such a wonderful community. Mm-hmm. People just support and love me, especially being single for so long and being out here on my own. I've had so many invites for like Thanksgiving dinners and just like making sure that I wasn't alone. And so that was great. And my church was great. Honestly, there was so much great. I was not in a great place. I think I was still in this mindset of me being able to like fix things. And I think it took me a long time to get to a place where I would acknowledge this, but I think I had full hope when I was younger. And then when everything fell apart with my fiance at that time, I think I was so hurt, but I think part of me was just angry with God and just kind of like, how could you let this happen? Or like, why did you let it get to this point? And then like, this is embarrassing. Like I just had anger and questions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I had a good relationship with Jesus and my faith in him. But I think that some ways we function like, we're like, okay, God, I'll give you this and this and this, but this is mine.
Yes.
And so I think the relationship thing was, this is mine. Like I gave you a chance. You messed it up, so I'm going to try it my way, which is really harsh to say, but I think that's where my heart was.
Yeah.
And so I came out and it was just a fresh start. And like my intentions were still good. Like I wasn't in this completely rebellious state, but it was, I was like, I'm going to just put myself out there and like try to start dating again and that kind of thing. it did not go well.
Yes.
I think I was young. I had moved here by myself. Really, nobody knew me. And I went from having like full accountability in the sense that I was surrounded by family and friends to coming here and a lot of freedom that I had never mm-hmm. experienced before. And I think that that actually was bad for me. It was not that I planned it, but I think I didn't have the accountability from people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I did start dating and I tried to use my best judgment. I tried to like have my boundaries and things like that. But when you're broken and you just want to be wanted and you want to be loved and you want mm-hmm. someone to see you, I think it's very easy to let go of some of those boundaries or mm-hmm. give in ways that you shouldn't or that you hadn't even planned. Mm-hmm. But when you have this in front of your face, it's really easy to mess up in those moments. Yes. And so, yeah, when I look back, I had a time where I felt shame and anger towards myself. And now I can look back with a perspective of grace and seeing that I'm redeemed. But I had a season of making not great decisions and just mm-hmm. I wasn't as close with Jesus as I should have been. And so I was finding my intimacy in different ways. And just I made decisions that were not God honoring in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to suffer the consequences for them as well. And I think because I had no accountability and because I was in it all alone, Satan's very good at making you want to stay in the dark, right?
Right.
There's that fear of like, if anybody knows what you're actually doing, like, you know? And so trying to handle that and carry that by yourself is like debilitating, honestly.
Yeah.
And so there were a couple, it was about a year that it was just rough. Like I felt like I was fake and I wanted to make changes, but I was so scared to tell anybody that I was just like in this cycle, right? Mm-hmm. And so I finally was able to confide in some friends that I had, and I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful for the fact that they weren't not judgmental and they were just mm-hmm. loving. Like, mm-hmm. I think my biggest fear was judgment, and I had already had enough judgment on myself. But I confided in a couple friends, like where I was and how it's not where I wanted to be, you know, and the pain that I had caused myself and even others. And then they helped me kind of take the necessary steps to like leave a relationship or like go be accountable to the people that I should. Mm-hmm. And so I took those steps. And so there was some really crappy months, I'm not going to lie, of having those tough conversations, being accountable, making changes, like really looking at myself and seeing like, okay, like this is the path you're on. If you don't make changes, is this where you want to go? I'm so thankful because even when we like confided in some of the pastors at my church or even my boss at my school, because I did get to the point where I just laid it all out. I honestly was met with love. Mm-hmm. Like we dealt with the things, but I was met with love. And I think that that's what helped me continue, right?
Yeah.
And so then it was like the healing. And I mean, there's healing from that point and from things before in my life. But that's when I really dug deep into seeking help for myself and going to see a counselor, taking part of different programming at church that was helpful for just finding freedom and healing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this crazy journey of doing that. And then I feel like that was like a 5-year journey or more. Then I ended up adopting my daughter. And then that just put a whole nother layer because I just was like, now I'm not just responsible for myself. I'm responsible for another human and my choices and another life. And so then that even slowed down any more dating processes because I was like, everyone just stay away. So I had friends say that to me, just like, you are just like really determined right now. I think you'd be intimidating to anybody. And I was like, I was just focused on this.
But your mama bear came out.
But honestly, it was a beautiful time. And so I'm thankful for that. I think my biggest thing was I didn't realize just how much anger I had towards men.
Mm.
And that was something that God had to reveal through more things. And so that was a process. And I can see a lot of growth there. And just even I was in a program at my church that was amazing. And so it was funny to see because like the people that I started that program with got this like unfiltered, like, I hate men.
Like, it was rough.
And like validly for some of the things that had happened. Like there was some good reasoning there, but still it was just a very intense. And mm-hmm. so like we go through this program, we've done a lot and there's still more to heal, but like, and then like they see me a little while later and I'm like engaged and then I'm getting married. And I had one girl that like hadn't seen me, like she came at the beginning of group and then hadn't seen me until she met me. And she's like, what? She's like, but you hated men. I was like, well, we got over that. We worked through it.
Yes.
So it's been really, really redeeming. And just to see where I was and where I could have been mm-hmm. and where God has me now and his grace in the circumstances and the beauty that I'm able to experience now being married and experiencing things the way that God intended them to be
right.
has been absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So I'm going to pull you back
sure.
a little bit. That was fantastic. Yeah. There's so many little things in there though. And one of the first things I was catching on was, you know, when you were kind of putting yourself back out there in the dating world, you said something along the lines of, I didn't have bad intentions.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it right.
Yeah.
But I was broken.
Yeah.
And so you were broken and hurting. You didn't have the same sort of community. You didn't have the same sort of accountability.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for people to understand. Like, and it's not even just young women. It's women at any age, maybe have gone through a divorce or, you know, a similar type of relational hurt, abuse, whatever. And you're broken on the inside.
Yeah.
And you don't really realize it until you try and go and function normally. And you realize, oh my gosh, my function is now dysfunction. And so,
100%. Yeah.
And so like for those women and those young adults, those younger girls out there, I just recognize that you aren't what your brokenness says that you are. And because you find yourself in a situation that you thought, I never thought I would ever do something like this. I never thought I would say something like this. I never thought I would date someone like this. I never thought I would cross those lines that I just crossed. And then, like you said, the shame that you struggled with and felt and battled with and you wanted to stay hidden. I know that so well because in my own journey and in my brokenness, I remember, and in my isolation as well, because it was quite an isolating time for me, isolated time, and thinking, I can't believe that I've behaved this way. I can't believe I've done the things that I've done. And if anybody knew, oh my gosh, you know. But when I walked that road, we've talked before, so we have some similarities, like different, but similar.
Yeah.
People will understand. So when I walked that road, I saw myself differently. And I never started seeing myself as poorly as I did, you know, 6 months into it. But, you know, I had standards. I'm going to date a good Christian guy. You know, he's got to love the Lord. And honestly, everybody I dated said that they were.
Yep.
And it all started off good. And then, you know, things go bad.
Yep.
They mistreat you. You cross the line, whatever. And it started, okay, when this went on for a while and I got to the point I expected to be mistreated. I expected, you know, a guy to try and touch me in ways that he shouldn't. I expected him to try and get physical with me, you know, the first time that we met. And I literally had no more fight in me because I thought, I guess this is what it is. And I look back and I think, how could I think that? You know, and so there was so much shame as well. But looking back, and I know you looking back too, you can see, hey, that was a very broken me. That was a very isolated me. And I can see all these factors that put me in this position that really fostered the brokenness and the dysfunction. And so to have some grace for yourself if you're finding yourself in that situation right now, and to be intentional about finding community.
Yes.
You know, you were saying about you brought it to the light. Yeah. That wasn't an easy thing to do. You found somebody to be accountable to, some trusted friends. And that was the beginning of a turnaround. I can just imagine the weight that would come off, you know, once you say, hey, this is what my life's actually been like. Can you guys like partner with me? Can you walk alongside me? I need to change. Like that must have been liberating for you.
It was so liberating, and it still is. And it's at the point where like I lived with this secrecy for, it wasn't like, I mean, it was a segment of time. It wasn't like it was so long, but I remember it so clearly, just that heaviness. And then when that was exposed, and then it's in the light, and then there was just like this freedom and this peace. And like there were still consequences. It wasn't like, ta-da! Like there were still bad things that had to be worked through. Yeah. There were still really embarrassing moments. There was some ickiness. But the freedom of being in the light and then still being loved was so beautiful. So to the point now, like if anything feels at all like it's in secrecy, I'm like, nope, I'm bringing it to the light because I just don't even want anything to be there. So,
right. Now you've tasted that freedom.
Yeah.
You know, the light brings life. It's, and I love too, you were saying how you brought these things to some trusted friends. You exposed what had been hidden.
Yeah.
And you were met with love. And I've heard stories like that now a number of times. You know, I was so afraid to speak up because I was sure they were going to fire me. I was sure, you know, you're such a bad Christian and blah, 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 you know, and just heap on the condemnation, but being met with love. And that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's the body of Christ. And there's an old song. I don't know if you know of Chuck Gerard. Way back when I was growing up, I don't think he ever got big, but we had a cassette tape and he sang a song and it was, Don't Shoot the Wounded.
Okay.
He said, don't shoot the wounded. They need us more than ever.
Yeah.
They need our love no matter what it is they've done, right?
Yeah.
And so if people have friends or acquaintances or something and they think, oh my goodness, what is she doing? She did this horrible thing. She must not even be a Christian anymore. Maybe she doesn't even love God. Don't make that judgment too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because in brokenness, people do things that they wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
And so put a break on the judgment.
Yeah.
And pray for them, yeah. Love them. And that was a huge part of your healing.
Yeah. And I think, like, I never once questioned my salvation in the midst of all of mm-hmm. the darkness. And I still know that God was with me. Like, there were times that I left awful situations and got in my car and prayed. And it was like, yes, an ugly, nasty prayer of like, God's like, save me from this. But like, he was still very present and very there. Mm-hmm. And there were just so many factors.
Yeah.
But he was there. And honestly, like, this is where God uses his grace, allows all these things to be used for his good. And so that darkness and that time, like, I finally had to run somewhere and I finally ran to him, and it mm-hmm. created a closer relationship with God than I mm-hmm. ever had. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though if I could go back, I definitely would do things differently. I love how God used it, and
yes,
and just the closeness that came from that.
There's a beauty that comes in brokenness.
100%.
And I don't wish brokenness on anybody, but I do wish that everybody could experience that place where you get to where he's your only answer.
Yeah.
It's like he's everything you need and nothing else matters, you know? And suddenly you have this audience of one, and it's so clear and it's so pure. There's such a beauty in that.
For sure.
So you brought it to the light. You were talking to your pastors. You were talking about going through counseling. People shouldn't be afraid to go to counseling.
Oh, no, me and my counselor. I bring it up all the time. It's a regular part
ring,
of my
ring.
Life.
Yeah, I mean, let's just humble ourselves and realize everybody should go at some point,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
And probably several times. But and so there's a healing journey.
Yeah.
And probably layers, right? And then, okay. So you also brought up that you adopted your daughter.
Yes.
And for those of you that aren't catching on to this, you were still single.
Yes.
So had you thought about that for a long time? Like, I know, like, there was this desire to be married and to have a family.
Yeah.
And so tell us about how that came about.
Yeah, it's a cool story. So, yeah, I still wanted to have marriage and family. I wanted all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what God had planned for me, and I really struggled with it. And it just seemed like every time I did try, it just didn't work out. And then I was like, don't want to go back there. So it was just like, I'd go on one date and then it'd be like a 2-year hiatus, which obviously doesn't work well. But anyway, so I was trying to give it to God, but I also knew that I loved kids. Like, I became a teacher mm-hmm. because I loved kids. I know lots of different people that have adopted or are adopted. And so I just loved that idea. And so, yeah, adoption was on my radar for quite a long time. I started with just fostering. And so I counted up once. And I think I had over like 50 different kids in my home.
Wow.
Over like a 2 or 3 year period. So
while you were teaching?
Yes. It was I look back and I'm like, I could never do that again. And so it wasn't always full time. Like, sometimes it was respite on weekends and stuff, but there were segments of time. There was times when I had like 5 kids in my house. I look now and I'm like, no. But it was really cool. So yeah. So through that process, all of the workers and stuff kind of knew me as well. And so then I finally looked into adopting. And so I was told it would be a longer process because I was single, just because of a lot of the needs of the children. And I'm like, that's fine. I had prayed about it. And I did feel this peace when I did it, that I was giving it to God. And so mm-hmm. if it was in his will, then he would open doors. And if it wasn't, he would close them. And I was very confident with that. I felt like I held it open-handed in that way.
Yeah.
And so I think that was about 5 or 6 years into the fostering world that came about. And so there were mm-hmm. some girls along the way, or not some girls, some children along the way, that in my mind, I was like, oh, I could adopt this one. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a couple of times I had looked into it, and then they're just like, no, sorry, like, the needs are too high. And I was like, okay. So, and then I remember, I think it was maybe like, this was over years, but there was one that I had was interested in seeing if it could work. And so I sent an email, and the lady responded and was like, no, but she was like, don't worry, we haven't forgot about you. And I was like, ah, whatever. Like, I just kind of was like, that's your nice way of saying it.
Yeah.
And it was like the next week.
Oh, wow.
They called me and they were like, we have a match for you. And what's even funnier with that timing is, like, earlier that week, I think it's in my book. The dates are in my book. I can't remember them right now.
Yeah.
But it was like a weekend in May or something. But I had a campfire out in my backyard. It was just me and Jesus. And I was out there just praying and talking to him. And And I stayed out late, but I remember just saying to him, I was finally at a place of like enough healing. I still had lots to do, but like this place of like, God, if it's just you and me for the rest of my life, like I'm good with that. And I remember saying that audibly to him, just as a declaration of like, if this is what you have for me, this will be good. You
That's your surrender.
Yeah. And it was my surrender. And so that was like the weekend. And so, and then I think they called me like Tuesday or Wednesday and I was just like, what? And then it was like a 3 week period of getting that call until she moved in with me full time. So it was
amazing.
And it wasn't one of the kids I'd ever fostered, which is really cool.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think what I remember and go back to is like, I, in my mind, had all of these other kids, like this would be perfect. Like I could logically work it out why this would be a good match. Mm-hmm. And it was always no, 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 no. But then it's like when the one that he had prepared or the one that he'd set up, like it's just so much more clear. Like it's just perfect. Like she's a perfect match.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's so many little things and little ways that God affirmed like this is what I have planned for you. And so I go back to that memory very often. When I get a no, I go back to that and be like, God said no here, but then look what he provided. So I'm going to trust he's going to do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so good. I just love that story so much. It just gets my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that you were single and you had the chutzpah, you know, to say, I'm going to adopt a child.
Yeah.
And I'm sure other people have done it, but it's not something you hear very often.
No, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Like I think most people were supportive. Yeah. There were some people just from where they had come from and their mindsets, they weren't fond of the idea. And I think it was just coming from the place where like, this is what a family is supposed to look like. And so I had prayed about it and I felt like, yeah, I totally believe that this is God's idea for what a family should look like. But like the world's broken. And like when this little person's born into this world, like, and it hasn't happened that way, their family's already broken. So my mindset was like, if I have the ability and desire to love on some kids, why not? Right? Like I'm not making it any worse. Like, and so that was kind of my mindset. So it was opening that door. And if that's what God wanted, he would provide. And then continue to pray. Like for me, it wasn't like, okay, well, that happened and now it's done. It was then praying, what does it look like for moving forward? Like, is this our family unit? Will it change? And I mean, my daughter had her own questions about that too. So then it was this season of like being able to be proud of who we were as a family unit, even though we looked different and even though we came together differently, which is still the case. We just, I think our entire lives will be like.
Well, and people would make all sorts of assumptions too, right? 100%. See you at the grocery store, no ring. They're like, oh, there's another single mom. And you were a single mom, but they have these ideas of how that happened, right? 100%.
And I remember being like, well, like whatever, like that's just, it is what it is.
It is, yeah.
And I just had to not care what people thought, but it was an interesting journey. And it really showed me like the people that were really supportive. And again, you just appreciate that when people are, and even if it's not a choice that they would make themselves, but they were like, yeah, we are with you, we're here. And so it was just a really beautiful process as well.
So. Yeah. And so cool how God met that desire of your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what gets me too is the place that you came to with the Lord.
Yeah.
That, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. If it's just me and you forever, it's okay. And that was settled in your heart. And I think that's not an easy place to get to. And sometimes we think we've gotten there and we really haven't.
I did that too.
Yeah. You're like, I'm good enough, God. Yeah. I'm good enough. I'm ready.
Yeah.
But I can look back in my own life too. And I'm not going to tell all my story right now because this is about you today. But same for me. When I first connected with my husband.
Yeah.
My second husband, the man that loves me today. I had been in a string of bad situations too. And the Lord spoke to me specifically to cut all the ties and to not have a back door. And I was like, you know what, God, if I'm single for the rest of my life, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I truly did not care.
Yeah.
I had done it my own way long enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know better.
Yeah.
And I just want to be content with you. It was literally like minutes after that
I got
this message and I didn't even know who this guy was, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, who are you? Yeah. and I held off for a little bit, but and lo and behold, he's now my husband. But you know, but it was genuine, sincere surrender of my will for his will. And I think that is such a key.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw the same thing again with my husband. It's actually hilarious.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So like this book, like it's not just about being single, but obviously because I had such a long season of singleness,
yeah,
a lot of my examples like are going to be related to the fact that I'm single. And so there's a lot in there that is me processing that. But anyway, it's not just for single people. So if you read it, there's more to take away from that. Yes. But what was cool is I think in a way like that, me writing that book was kind of like a final declaration of my surrendering in that area of like, if I am a single mother for the rest of my life, or if it's just me and I'm not going to have a husband, like, I know you will sustain me. I know you will have good things for us. And I'm excited about them. And it took me a long time to get there, but I did. So, and I feel like that the book was the final like stamp of I'm willing to like declare this and tell you this, you know? And so, yeah. So, and then I finished my book and 2 weeks later, I met my husband.
Seriously?
Yeah. So, and then like, that was funny enough, but then it was like the week of our wedding, 4 days before our wedding is when the book arrived in the mail, like a real copy. And up, I was like, this is ridiculous, Jesus. Like, okay, I get it. So it's been really, really funny, but like, again, beautiful. Like it's just been amazing.
It's such a beautiful story. And I love the grace and the redeeming power of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I've experienced it. You've experienced, I love the realness and the rawness of your story. And I think so many people can relate. Maybe they weren't single as long. Maybe they didn't adopt a child, but the brokenness and the surrender and the, when we are trying to walk out life, you know, we have these ideas of what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Nobody plans that they're going to get a divorce when they get married. Nobody plans to be in an abusive relationship. Yeah. Nobody plans, you know, to have an illness adjust the trajectory of their life. These things happen. It's a broken world, you know, sin is in the world and thus so is pain.
Yeah.
And so, and of course we make our own decisions too that add difficulty to everything else. But I mean, this is life.
Yeah.
And God is so good and he's so gracious. And I don't know, I probably the same for you, but every time I sing or hear the song, The Goodness of God, I can barely get through the song. You know, if I'm really strong, I can get through without breaking and crying, you know, but I just, when you've experienced brokenness, and then have been met with God's goodness. Yeah. And you look back and say, if it wasn't for you, I don't know if I'd be here. If it wasn't for you, I'd still be there. Or maybe not at all.
Yeah.
And you see where you were and where he's brought you. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you're somewhere on that journey, if you're still in the muck, or maybe you're on the other side of it, like there is a good side. When you reach that point of surrender, the healing and the grace of God just, you surrender and it allows him to come and do these things in your life.
Yeah.
The other thing is he knows what we need even better than we do.
Yeah.
And so he will bring beauty out of your brokenness. He promises to work all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And you're like a shining, living example of that, you know, and life keeps going. So it may not always look picture perfect and things are going to come up. And like you're in a new relationship. I'm 8 years into my marriage and you know what? Sometimes things come up and you're like, oh my goodness, we need to deal with this. Like, it's never perfect.
No,
it's never perfect. And stuff will happen down the road, guaranteed. But God is faithful.
Yeah.
And he's brought you through and he'll do it again.
100%.
You know, it's so good.
Well, and I totally agree with you. And just when you were sharing that, it just kind of took me back to, there was a time in my life because of the things that had happened that I really do think in my mind, I thought that God was withholding good things for me. Like I couldn't understand, if he wanted good things for me, then why all this, you know?
Exactly.
And I had some really hard things happen as a child and into my adolescence. And so there was a long time where I didn't believe that. And I remember I was down in California at a church and the worship leader she just kept repeating this phrase, the Father does not withhold good things from us. And I was like, what?
It
hit me. Like, I'm like, I don't remember that. And then my friend's like, that's in the Bible. And I'm like, what? Like, I actually So I went and looked it up. And I'm like, huh, it is in the Bible. So I have
go figure.
I know, which is like nuts. But like the fact that it hit me so hard.
Yeah.
Obviously, like I didn't believe it, right? And so I came home, I like found it. I actually painted like a picture of this verse. I put it up in the bathroom and like I read it every day because I was like, I don't believe this and I want to because it's truth.
Yeah.
And I need to repeat this truth until I actually believe it. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely an act more of just step by step rather than feeling, because I still didn't feel it. Mm-hmm. But I was like, it struck me, you know? And at that same conference, it was the first time I ever heard the song Defender. It's by, there's a bunch of people that do it, but Rita Springer is the version that I know. So anyway, they sang Defender, and it was the first time that I ever heard it. I felt like it was written for me. And I just bawled. like a beautiful, just like, I'd never felt like someone had hit my heart like so clearly. That whole trip was just like this beautiful gift from the Lord of just being known and being seen and being pursued.
Yes.
And, but yeah, it's just, I look back at it and I just remember I had a prophetic word too from a lady there at that time. And she just talked about God restoring broken dreams. Mm. And at this point, it was all just, in my mind, hypothetical. I hadn't seen the fruit. Right? Yes. Like I wanted to, but I'm like, oh. And so, and just in this last season, like the last 2 months of being married and stuff, that phrase just keeps going in my mind of like, mm-hmm. he is restoring broken dreams. And there were things that were like totally gone for me mm-hmm. that like he has restored. And it's been so beautiful. Like, it's amazing. And so just walking that out, like it doesn't always feel like there are good things. It doesn't always feel good. But trusting his word and trusting what he says and telling him when you feel that way. Like, and I've like, there's been times when I'm like, God, I need you. I just need you to give me this obvious, like you pursuing me. Cause I'm just struggling right now, you know, like not putting it on him or blaming him, but just being like, could you please do this for me? You know? Mm-hmm. And he has like in these beautiful ways. Mm-hmm. So I think just being raw and vulnerable with him, I'm always like, he always knows how I feel anyway. So whether it's in my mind or actually saying it out loud,
He's really not afraid of our humanness and our broken states and we can be honest. You're talking about like being pursued, and I just feel like there's people that need to understand that he pursues them, mm-hmm. that you are the object of his affection and he wants good for you no matter what you've done, no matter how low you value yourself. You're the apple of his eye. You know, you're the object of his affection. You're his desire. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he faced the cross. Mm. And we were the joy set before him. And I think, really? Like, for me, you were had so much joy because you thought you could have a relationship with me. But you endured for me.
Yeah.
And I've done all this stuff.
Yeah.
I was angry at God too. And, you know, you don't understand, like, why would you let this happen to me? I'm a good Christian girl. You know, I did my best. And then you should have seen these things. You know, it's funny how we blame God for our own ignorance. But yeah, he's just so good.
Yes.
And if we allow him to, he will come and he will walk us through the healing and he will bring restoration. Yeah, it's so beautiful. I want to pop over to your book for a minute, Sweet Sustenance. So the one story that pops into my mind, I'll just give a little, I don't even remember how it ended, but I remember my guts were like, oh, what's going to happen? You were paddleboarding and you were out on the lake and you're paddleboarding back home. Was it the lake or the ocean? Was
the lake?
Okay. Yeah. And you had no life jacket or anything and you got out. And then the wind changed or something. And oh my goodness, my heart was like, oh, you know, I have a little bit of anxiety about the water. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's kind of funny because my sister-in-law read my book and then she called me out on it because like at the end of that story, I'm like, I learned my lesson. I'll always wear a life jacket. And then this summer, I didn't go as far, but I was out a little bit. And she was like, so I read that in your book and you're totally up there without a life jacket. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. So I think we grew up around water. And so I don't think I have enough of a fear of water. Like, I'm like, we're good. And so always wear a life jacket when doing water sports. That is my thing for people. But yeah, so I had gone, I love paddleboarding. It's like my, it is just my thing. I go with my dog. I have a paddleboarding playlist called Peace on the Water. Nice. And it just has like my favorite songs. And it just puts me in this place that I'm just like talking to God, singing these songs. It's one of my favorite things to do. So anyway, I had a whole day of like freedom. I don't know where my daughter was, but I was like, I have a whole day. I'm going to like do a real adventure. So I ended up paddleboarding down to the other end of the lake. So this was the farthest I'd ever gone. And in my mind, I was like paddling against the wind. So it was a little bit harder, but I'm like, it's the beginning of my journey. Like I'm going to get to the end and then I'm going to just relax and the wind's going to bring me back.
Right.
And so I had this like wonderful vision of my, like me sailing back, like laying on the board. Anyway, so it took me like an hour, hour and a half, I think, to get to that end, somewhere around there. As I'm going, the wind is starting to shift just because, you know, Mother Nature. So by the time I got to the end and turned around this island, which was kind of my, like, my destination point, the wind had completely shifted the opposite direction and was, like, way stronger to the point where, like, I was actually worried. Like, I'm like, how are we going to get home? And my dog, who loves paddleboarding, was, like, whimpering and, like, standing up and, like, looking for, like, a way to get to shore. And I was like, okay.
I might have overdone it.
I totally did. And, like, yeah. And, like, I don't even know if anyone knew where I was. It was not a wise decision. But anyway, and so I really had to just dig in. I didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. And so it was just, like, I have to use everything I have and focus and get back home. It was so hard. It was really, really hard. And I just prayed. But I was so frustrated because I just thought, like, I had this vision of what it was going to be. And that's what I was working towards. And then it was just gone. And instead of just losing the vision, it was even harder. And so I was annoyed. I was annoyed with the situation. But, like, God really works with metaphors for me. Like, that's just, so I got home and I'm like, God's going to use this as a metaphor for sure.
Yes.
And so as the days passed, I was like, this is exactly like life. Like, you plan things out and you have good plans. You're like, you know. And you have this idea of, like, when I get to this point, this is what I get to look forward to, or this is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to unfold. And then you get there and it does not. And, like, sometimes it could be better. It could be worse. It could be different, but it's just, like, that is the human experience in life. Like, it does not unfold how you plan. And even when parts of it do, maybe something else doesn't, or something adds, you know? And so I thought, it's like, it just, the metaphor built from there of, like, what do you do when you get to that place? And you're like, well, crap, this isn't what I wanted. You know what I mean? And then fighting through. And so, like, and what emotion does that evoke? Like, do you give up? Do you get mad? Do you get back? Like, where do you fight from? Right. And then like, what's the healthy way to handle this? Because, like it or not, it's going to happen to you, you know? And so that's kind of where my book starts. When things fall apart, what do you
then
do?
What?
Yeah. Oh, I did make it safely back home.
Yeah.
I was exhausted.
Seriously, I was like, I was so, like, tense. Yeah, I'm like, what's going to happen? It was a great part of the book, by the way. So Juliana's book, His Sweet Sustenance, I'll put a link in our show notes for that so people can just order it. And it's full of great stories. And it's so applicable. I love how you share little bits about your life and your journey and then how God taught you through that and what he's saying. And so, order her book. It's fantastic. It's an easy read. It's like, sit down, have a cup of coffee and just feed your soul, you know? So I'll put those links in there, and any other contact links that we have for you, we'll put in there as well. And thank you so much for sharing your story and being vulnerable with the real and raw parts of, you know, your journey. And I think that connects with people, connects with me. I just hope and pray that people can see and recognize God's hand in all of this and have hope for their own journey. So
thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I've just been excited. Like, I knew all along God told me, like, he would use my story.
Yes.
For others. And I was in this season so long, like, I'm not in a place to help others yet, you know? And so it was like healing and things like that. And I finally feel like I'm at a place where I'm able to share my story. I'm able to encourage others.
Yeah.
And so I'm so excited to see how God will use that. And so this is those first steps of that happening. And so I'm really, I'm feeling blessed that I have this platform with you.
Wonderful.
To share this and encourage people.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Made on Purpose. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to follow, subscribe, and share so that we can share this story with others. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.